One of the most blessed privileges of the Christian life is the privilege of prayer. The fact that we can talk to the Almighty God of the universe and He is willing to listen. Matter of fact, He told us He wants us to talk to Him. Prayer, the whole concept of prayer is just an incredible thing. If you were able to have an audience with somebody very high up in the government, you would probably be pretty excited about it. If the governor of Florida were to say, you know what, I'd like to hear from you, and I'm not just saying that, I really do want to hear from you. Matter of fact, I will come to Northport, and I will be at such and such a place, and I'm not coming to meet 100 people, I'm coming just to meet you, and anything you want to tell me about how things are going in Florida, any ideas you have for the state, I want to hear them from you. You'd be like, wow, it's incredible. The governor of Florida is willing to listen to me. You start asking your friends, hey, you want me to tell the governor anything? You know, any ideas you've got? Okay, what about the president of the United States? Anybody have any ideas they'd like to give the president of the United States? Okay, all right, you got some ideas you'd like to pass on? Well, what if he was willing to have a private audience with you? And he'd say, I'll give you as much time as you need. You tell me anything that you need to tell me. It'd be just me and you. You'd be like, I can't believe it. It's incredible. I could talk to the President of the United States. Folks, we have something better than that when it comes to prayer. We could talk to the God of the universe. And it's true. He has actually said that He wants us to come boldly before His throne. He wants us to talk to Him. He wants us to communicate with Him. And it's a great and wonderful thing. We are going to start tonight a series of messages on Sunday nights entitled How to Pray. Tonight will be kind of introductory, giving us some motivation for prayer, but we'll get practical as the weeks go on and talk about what it really means to communicate with God in prayer. You know, is prayer simply, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep? I guess someone could recite that prayer and really mean it and be talking to God and praying. I guess that's a possibility. But is that what prayer is all about? Is prayer saying, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and just reciting through that? Is that what prayer is all about? We're going to look at how to pray. And I believe that all of us can make strides in our prayer life. I know I can. Okay, I want to be a praying preacher, and I believe I am. And I think you want to be a praying Christian, and many of you are. But we can all make strides in our prayer life. So I'm excited about the next couple of weeks. I hope you'll do all you can to be here every Sunday night, not miss a Sunday night if possible, so that you can get the whole package on this series on how to pray. We'll be basing it on R.A. Torrey's book, How to Pray. Many of you have purchased that book, as we announced the last couple of weeks, and you can read along with us. Tonight's message will be loosely connected there with chapter 1, and we'll go some of the topics there that he had in chapter 1. Chapter 1 is called The Importance of Prayer. So tonight's message, The Importance of Prayer. You know, if we realized how important it was to pray, I think we'd do it more. The truth is, we do what's important to us. We're all busy, but we always do what's important to us. Maybe I shouldn't ask this, but I'll go ahead and ask it. How many of you brushed your teeth today? Okay, you brushed your teeth today. All right, looks like just about everybody. just about everybody brushed their teeth. Maybe everybody, I don't know. You know, you may have been busy. You may have been in a hurry this morning to get ready for church or whatever you were doing. You may have had a lot to do today, but it was important to you to get your teeth brushed because you didn't want to gag everybody out with bad breath. So you took care of it. Okay, you got it done. We do what's important to us. How many of you spent over an hour eating today at a restaurant or something like that? Okay. Come on, okay, all right. Probably even at home, you know, if you prepared supper at home, it took you over an hour to prepare it and then eat it and then get back. If you ate at a restaurant, you probably spent an hour there, unless it was fast food, right, drive-through or something. So, you know, eating's important to us, so we make time for it. We make time for what's important to us. So the idea of tonight's message is this: if prayer becomes more important to us, then it'll be normal and natural to take time for prayer in our lives. And prayer will become something that is not a chore, not something that, I guess I better pray, you know, because God told me to. No, when we realize the importance of it, then we'll want to pray and it'll become more special to us. So the importance of prayer. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 and down at verse 18 for tonight. Ephesians 6 and verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Notice the word all. The four alls of Ephesians 6, 18. First of all, it says praying always. This is the time of prayer. The time of prayer is always. You should be able to pray at any time. Keep the lines of communication open. The Bible says pray without ceasing. That means keep those lines of communication open. The time of prayer, always. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication. All prayer and supplication. Here we're talking about the kinds of prayer. The kinds of prayer. There's different kinds of prayer. We'll study those in the next couple of weeks. One is called prayer proper. One is called supplication. Thanksgiving is another type of prayer. Intercession. These are all different types of prayer, and we're supposed to use all of them. Okay, praying always with all prayer and supplication, and watching thereunto with all perseverance. There's the third all perseverance. Perseverance, big word that means keep on going. Okay, continuance in prayer. So we've got the time of prayer, the kinds of prayer, and now continuance in prayer. All perseverance. You know, praise the Lord for Nancy's testimony tonight. Her parents, age 80, trusting the Lord as Savior, 82, 83 years old. You know, there's a lot of prayer and perseverance. You know, you start praying for something like that, and you say, now, Lord, it's your will for people to be saved, so I pray that you would save them, and then they don't get saved. So what do? Do you give up? No, you keep praying. You keep praying. Now, for lost loved ones, that's something that we realize the peril they're in. And so perseverance is a little bit easier on that type of request. But what about some of the other requests that we have? We pray and we ask God for something and we don't see it happen right away. And so we give up. All perseverance. All perseverance. Continuance in prayer. And I'm sure that'll come up again in the next couple of weeks. And then there's a fourth all in verse number 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. For all saints. This is the subject of prayer. The subject of prayer. All saints. Saints are Christians. Did you know that in the Bible? You know, some other religions have people that they call saints. And if they do enough good things, then the church says, okay, they're a saint. But when you read the word saint in the Bible, that's not what it is. A saint is someone who has trusted Christ as their Savior. So if we look around today, believe it or not, we got St. Mark here tonight. We got St. Jonathan, St. Josh, okay? We got St. Don over here. Okay, we've trusted Christ as Savior, then we're a saint according to the Bible. Okay? Bible, saint is someone who's trusted Christ. So we should pray for all saints. That means we should pray for each other. We should pray for everybody. We shouldn't say, well, I'm not praying for that guy because I don't like him very much. Or he, you know, he kind of ignored me this morning during the handshaking time. So, no, that's all the more reason to pray for him. Okay, maybe he did. I don't know. But that's all the more reason to pray for him. Because we're supposed to pray for all saints. Something else in verse 18 I'd like to point out. We've got those four alls. We also have this, watching thereunto. Watching thereunto. Literally, this phrase means being sleepless for prayer. Being sleepless for prayer. You know, we do lead busy lives. And sometimes we feel like there's not enough time to really spend quantity time talking to God about different things. Well, sometimes the solution for that is to give up some sleep. Maybe it means getting up a little bit earlier in the morning before work or school. Maybe it means staying up a little bit later at night to spend some time with God. If you do it at night and you get sleepy, you might have to walk around the kitchen table while you pray. You might not work on your knees that time if you're too sleepy. But you know, being asleep was for prayer. That's the idea of watching. The guy's on watch. He's on duty. He's taking care of business right now. He's watching thereunto. There's a great importance to combating our natural slothfulness, especially when it comes to prayer. You know what it's like. You sit down to pray, and you start praying maybe 1 or 2 minutes, and before you know it, you've prayed for everything you can think of in about 2 minutes, and maybe your mind starts wandering, or you start getting sleepy, and before you know it, you're not even praying anymore. We have that. That's the way we are. It's our sinful flesh, just natural slothfulness. We've got to combat that. We've got to be watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. In his book, Torrey says, how seldom do we pray things through? We give up way too soon. We pray for something once or twice, and then we let it go. No, we've got to pray some things through. Torrey uses a number of adjectives in the chapter. He talks about earnest prayer, constant, persistent, sleepless, overcoming prayer. And he uses those adjectives over and over again. So let me mention them again. Think about how they fit with prayer. Earnest, you really mean it. Constant, different times throughout the day, praying, constant. Persistent, not giving up. Sleepless, being willing to sacrifice in order to pray. Overcoming prayer, overcoming type of prayer. That's the kind of prayer that God encourages us to have. Ephesians 6 is a great chapter on the armor of the Christian. You know, the shield of faith, the belt of truth, the sword of the Spirit. And then right at verse 18 it says, praying always. Because prayer is the strength to wield the sword. Prayer is the strength to hold on to that shield. Prayer is the strength to lace up those boots, the shoes of gospel preparation. Prayer is the strength to cinch up that belt of truth. So prayer is the resource that holds all the armor of the Christian together. Tonight, let's look at some reasons why we ought to pray. There's a bunch of them, so I'm going to move quickly here. Number one, we ought to pray because there is a devil. Because there is a devil. Now, if I were writing Torrey's book on the importance of prayer, I probably would not have picked that as the number one reason to pray. Why pray? He said, because there is a devil. But did you know that's the context of Ephesians chapter 6? Let me show that to you. Look down in verse number 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. What are these rulers of the darkness of this world? We're talking about the devil and his forces, aren't we? And so, because of that, we come down to verse 18. We better be praying because there is a real devil. Verse number 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Okay? We've got to stand against the evil of this world. Down to verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, when I first read that as a new Christian, I thought it meant wicked people throwing fiery darts at us. But it's really not. It actually is in the Bible here, the fiery darts of the wicked one. The wicked one. It's talking about the devil. Okay? He's the one that throws those fiery darts. And so we're in a fight. We're in a spiritual battle. Don't get mad at people if they don't treat you right. Would you realize that it's not just the people doing that? It's the devil at work. You know, if somebody's not getting along in church, don't say, well, that person, I'm not getting along really good with them because they're just mean to me. Hey, could you step back and see the big picture? It's the devil trying to divide the church. It's the devil trying to drive a wedge in there. And don't let him do it. Say, okay, this person, they're being stinky, but I'm going to be nice to them anyway. We're going to overcome evil with good. We're going to show kindness and love anyway. And see if I can't make that person into a friend. And go out of your way to overcome that because you see the big picture. It's the devil fighting. Why should we pray? Because there's a devil. So we come to the Lord and we say, Lord, I can't battle the devil on my own. I've got to have your help. I've got to have your strength today. Because there is a real devil. You know, he's not just out to make your life rough. He's out to destroy your life. In 1 Peter, the Bible says he's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Not just a lion to roar and scare you, but a lion to devour. And he's out to ruin our lives. So we've got to pray. Number two, second reason to pray is to obtain things and avoid lack. To obtain things and avoid lack. Now, here's what we think of with prayer. We think, well, prayer is my way to ask God to do some things. Maybe to do some things for me, to help me, to give me the things I need and the things I lack. And you know what? That's true. It's not wrong to pray for your needs. It's not wrong to pray for things that you lack. You think, well, I don't want to be selfish. No, wait a minute. God told us to ask for things. As a matter of fact, in James, it tells us that we don't have some of those things because we didn't ask. James chapter 4 and verse 2. Ye have not, anybody know the rest? Because you ask not. Hey, the only reason you didn't get it is you didn't ask. A lot of times that's true in our lives. Now the next verse says, ye ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. So the next verse says, you know, some things you ask for, you're just asking out of pure selfishness, like, Lord, give me that Lamborghini, you know. Okay, he's not going to do that probably because you don't need a Lamborghini. But when you have needs, go to your Heavenly Father and ask Him. Go to your Father and ask Him. A couple weeks ago, Ben said, Dad, look at my school shoes. And the back was flapping off, and it was disconnected, and it was messed up. He said, I need some school shoes. I said, all right, let's go get some school shoes. All right. Now, sometimes they come and say, hey, can I get these shoes? But they don't need them. And I say, you got some money? You can get the shoes. Go ahead. If you got money, get them. But if they have a need, as a loving Father, we want to meet that need. How much more shall your Heavenly Father give good things to them that ask Him? But we have not because we ask not. Somebody says, well, you know, how can we see so few people getting saved nowadays? We have not because we ask not. How come my Sunday school class isn't growing? We have not, because we ask not. How come we're not picking up people and bringing them into church? We have not, because we ask not. How come we don't see young people today in Christianity surrendering to Christian work and going to the mission field and serving God with full-time Christian work? We have not, because we ask not. The importance of prayer. Sometimes we get frustrated about things, and the only problem is we didn't ask. We didn't ask. Sometimes parents do that with their kids. You know, I have certain things that I think, you know, this is something I could do for my kid, but I don't think they're ready for it yet. But when they come and ask, I know they're ready. And sometimes they have not because they ask not. The same thing is true with us and the Lord. Number three, the third reason we ought to pray is to follow the example of the apostles. Follow the example of the apostles. Boy, the disciples of Jesus, after he rose from the dead, they learned how to pray. Prayer was an important part of their life. In Acts chapter 6, in verse 2 through 4, the apostles were so busy doing different things that they said, we're not spending the time that we need to in prayer. We've got to do something about this. And so they appointed people that many think were the first deacons, and they appointed them to take care of some of the tasks like feeding the widows and some of the other things that they were so busy doing so that they could spend time, as the Bible says, in the ministry of prayer and the Word. Prayer and the Word. Because prayer was a high priority to Christ's apostles. Now let's consider the Apostle Paul. I've given you folks out there in the congregation some verses to read. So I'll give the reference, and if that's your verse, then you jump in and read it. Everybody try to tune in and listen, and you're going to see how the Apostle Paul put a great priority on prayer. Okay, Romans 1:9. Who's got that one? Okay, without ceasing he made mention of them in his prayers. Ephesians 1:15 and 16.
Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers.
Okay, he ceased not to give thanks for them, and he made mention of them in his prayers. He was talking to God about these people, and he didn't stop. He didn't stop. Prayer was a priority with him. Colossians 1:9. He prayed for them that they would know what God's will was for their life. And he didn't cease praying about that. He kept praying about that all the time. 1 Thessalonians 3:10. There he prays night and day, praying exceedingly. Prayer was an important part of his life. And the last one, 2 Timothy 1:3. Without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. Prayer played an important part in someone's life when they wanted to get serious about following God and being used of Him. And so we ought to follow their example and let prayer be an important part of our life. Number four, why should we pray? To follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody turn to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. We ought to pray in order to follow the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 1, we see the Lord Jesus having a busy day. Before the sun sets, just before sunset, they bring to Jesus everyone who is sick in the whole city and needs to be healed. And even though, for the most part, in those days, sunset was bedtime, he stayed up and he healed every one of them. And I imagine it was a late night for the Lord Jesus. In verse 32, it says that even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. So he was up late that night. But look at the next verse, verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and you say the last word, and there prayed. There prayed. Hey, even though he had a rough night the night before, prayer was a priority. And he got up a great while before day, it says. I don't know what time that was, 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning, I don't know. But it was a great while before day, before the sun came up, so that he could pray. Folks, if the Lord Jesus needed to spend time in prayer, don't we? Don't we? He was setting an example for us. In Luke 6:12, Jesus spends a whole night in prayer. The Lord got hold of my heart one time about Matthew 26:40, where Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he says, "What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Jesus made it sound like an hour in prayer was a little bit of time. He said, "You couldn't even pray for an hour? What's wrong with you guys?" Well, I always thought an hour in prayer was a lot. And when I read that verse, I got convicted. Jesus thinks an hour is only a little bit of time. I better try to increase my prayer times. And I remember for a space of about a year, I asked the Lord to make it possible for me to spend an hour, a solid hour in prayer sometime during the week. And during that year, it was a great year. The Lord helped me to do that through the year. And He'll help you if you set some goals and put your mind to it and say, "Lord, I want to spend some time with You to follow the example that the Lord Jesus gave us." Number five, we should pray because that allows us to take part in Christ's present ministry. To take part in Christ's present ministry. Tori in his book says the most important part of His present ministry. And he may be right. Listen to Hebrews 7:25. It tells us what Jesus is doing right now. It says, "Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing that He ever liveth to make intercession for them." Christ is alive right now in heaven, and He ever lives to make intercession for us, to pray for us. So right now, the Lord's talking to God about us. He's saying, "Lord, you see Brother Mark down there preaching? Help him to preach that message the way it ought to be preached. Don't let him be selfish. Don't let him be too long. Help him to preach that message the way it ought to be preached." And the Lord's praying for you, and He's saying, "Help those folks at Bethel Baptist Church to get what I want them to get out of this message. Lord, help him to get what I want him to get. Help Pastor Nito to get it across. He's praying for us. He's praying for us. That's what Hebrews 7:25 says. Isn't that neat? Christ is up there in heaven praying for us. Well, guess what? When I start praying for people, I'm taking part in his ministry. I'm doing the same thing he's doing right now. And so one of the great reasons to pray is to take part in the present ministry that Christ has going on right now. Number six, we ought to pray to obtain God's mercy and grace. To obtain God's mercy and grace. Now, mercy is God not giving us the punishments we deserve. And grace is God giving us the good things that we don't deserve. We need mercy and grace. We need it for salvation. If you've come tonight and you've never received Christ as your Savior, what I mean by that is you're not positive you're on your way to heaven. You hope you're going, you think you're going, but you're not positive. Folks, you can be positive of it right from the Word of God. The Lord will give you mercy and grace to the point where you can see it in the Bible and you can decide to receive Christ as your Savior the way the Bible says. Not just the way the Baptists say, not the way that Pastor Neeler says, but the way the Bible says. We'll show it to you tonight if you'd like. At the end of the service, we'll give you opportunity to come to the front and we'll have you go to a side room. We'll show you right from the Bible how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven and be positive of it. And you can settle it tonight and you'll have mercy and grace. But you know, after you're saved, you still need God's mercy and grace. We need it for daily life. We need mercy all the time. We need grace all the time. And again, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We'll find that mercy and grace if we'll come to God and pray. We'll find enabling grace, the power to live the Christian life, the power to overcome sin, the power to treat my little sister and little brother the way I should, the power to treat my husband and wife the way I should. Enabling grace. Number seven, the reason to pray is to obtain fullness of joy. Jesus said, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." Did you ever see a Christian like this? They come to church, they're grumpy. You know, they sing the songs we're singing. "I'm so happy, and here's the reason why. Jesus took my burdens all the way." And they don't look happy at all. You know, they look grumpy. They look like death warmed over. What's the deal with that? Hey, when you pray and God answers your prayer, it puts a smile on your face and a smile in your heart. And there's great joy. And a lot of times a grumpy Christian is not a praying Christian. Because Jesus said, "You haven't asked anything in my name," John 16:24. "But if you'll ask, you'll receive so that your joy can be full." You'll have the joy of the Christian life. You'll have the joy that God wants you to have. It's a wonderful thing. Psalm 16:11. "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." In thy presence, when we pray, we are ushered into the very presence of God. And Psalm 16:11 says, "In thy presence is fullness of joy." You'll have the joy of the Lord in your life. When we pray, do we take enough time to actually realize that we are in the presence of God? Or do we kind of just rush into the Lord and give our request and rush out? Let's take some time. I knew a friend that when he was called upon to pray publicly, he'd say, "Okay, so-and-so, would you lead us in prayer?" There would be like a pause. Sometimes it got uncomfortable because it was like a long pause. And I said, "What are you doing, man? Why don't you just pray when he asks you to pray?" He said, "Well, I'm just making sure that my mind is realizing the truth that I'm in the presence of God." And then he'd lead in prayer. I thought, that's pretty neat. That's pretty neat. But that is true. We've got to make sure and understand that we are being ushered into the very presence of God. Okay? Number eight. We ought to pray to obtain the peace of God. To obtain the peace of God. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, "Be careful for nothing. Be full of cares about nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds. You see, if we pray like that, if we say, I'm not going to worry about these things, I'm not going to be full of cares about these things, I'm going to just cast them on the Lord, I'm going to present my request to God, then the peace of God comes on your heart. So why should we pray? To get God's peace on our heart, to be able to rely on Him. Tory said it this way, one night of prayer will save you many nights of insomnia. I like that. One night of prayer. You know, you lay awake, tossed and turning, worrying about things. Hey, one night of prayer will save you many nights of insomnia. Cast your cares on Him, for He careth for you. Number 9, we ought to pray to obtain the power of God's Holy Spirit. To obtain the power of God's Holy Spirit. Luke 11:13. If ye which are evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? One of the things we ought to pray about is, Lord, give me your power upon my life. Help it to be that when I talk to people about you, that you're talking to their hearts at the same time, that you're getting through to them. Lord, let me have your power. Let me see people reached through our Sunday school. Let me see people reached through our soul winning efforts. You know, sometimes we go out soul winning once a week, but we didn't pray about it all the week leading up to it. We've got to pray for God's power upon us. We've got to say, Lord, work through us as we go out this Saturday and use us. Prayer is God's way to obtain the power. Number 10, we ought to pray to prepare us for His coming. To prepare us for His coming. You see, when we pray, it keeps us from living worldly and makes us ready for Christ's coming. Luke 21, verse 34 and 36, He says, watch. He says, watch. The world has a strong pull, doesn't it? All of us feel that pull every day to be more of what the world wants us to be instead of what God wants us to be. And the way to overcome that pull is through prayer. And then finally, number 11, the reason we should pray is because of what prayer accomplishes. Because of what prayer accomplishes. I got a couple things here. It promotes spiritual growth. Did you realize that one of the ways to find out about hidden sin in our life and then get rid of it and grow spiritually is through prayer? Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24 is a prayer. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. See, when you pray a prayer like that, God answers. And He reveals things to us, and then we can get right about it, and we can be closer to Him. So prayer accomplishes spiritual growth. Another prayer in the Bible, Psalm 119:18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And that kind of prayer helps you understand the Bible. Say, Lord, I'm getting ready to read your word now. Open my eyes. Help me to understand some things. I'm going to church. That preacher, he's hard to understand. Lord, help me to understand some things today. Open mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And a prayer like that accomplishes some spiritual growth. James 1:5, if you lack wisdom, ask of God. He'll give you the wisdom. He'll help you to grow spiritually. Prayer makes us more like the Lord Jesus Christ. There was an old-time Christian named John Welch. He was son-in-law to a guy you may have heard of, John Knox, from the Reformation. And John Welch counted the day ill-spent if he did not have 7 or 8 hours of time with God. Can you imagine? 7 or 8 hours of time with God. I don't know that I'll ever attain unto that level, but I want to spend time with Him because it promotes spiritual growth. What else does prayer accomplish? It brings power to our work. Wouldn't it be great to see God getting through to people as we teach Sunday school, as we witness to people, as we talk to them at work, as we try to raise our kids? Wouldn't it be great to see God getting through to them? Prayer accomplishes that. John Livingstone one time saw 500 people respond to his sermon invitation, and he really attributed it to the fact that the night before he spent the whole night in prayer. You know, I've thought about that. I thought, you know, what if I spent Saturday night in prayer and came in here to preach Sunday morning? Well, first of all, my thoughts might be scrambled. I might have a hard time concentrating. Or maybe the Lord would just take over and He'd allow my thoughts to be clear anyway. And maybe His power would be at work. And we'd see some great things accomplished. And we'd see a widespread revival sparked right here at Bethel Baptist Church. Prayer brings power into our work. Thirdly, prayer brings conversion of souls. R.A. Torrey, the writer of the book we're going to read here, tells about his conversion, his salvation, taking place in the middle of the night. And he figured it probably had nothing to do with prayer. But then he remembered his mother's prayers and how she prayed for him over and over and over. And then later he found out that there was a college friend who had covenanted with the Lord that he was going to pray for Torrey until Torrey got saved. And that college friend prayed for him and never let up until the day he was saved. And Torrey found out about it afterwards. See, prayer causes people to be saved when we get serious about it. And the last thing prayer accomplishes is it brings blessings to the church. It brings blessings to the church. It protects us from sin. You know, the devil tries to get in and ruin people with sin. I've only been here a couple months, but some of you have come to me burdened for people who used to come to our church, and you said, you know, this happened, and they, you know, messed up in sin. You know, that's what the devil tries to do. And he could get any of us to fall into sin like that if we don't pray. Let's pray a hedge of protection around Bethel Baptist Church. Let's pray that the devil would not get us to fall into immoral things or ungodly things. Let's pray for God's protection around our church. And then let's pray for revival. You know, revival is when Christians get fired up again like we ought to be. When we come back to normal. We're so used to the subnormal that we see a normal Christian and we think, wow, look at that guy. He's really something special. When really, he's just a normal Christian. And revival is when we get vived again. Vive is life, you know, vive Italian, life, you know, vive life. We get life again. We get back to where we ought to be as Christians when we get revived. Let's pray for God to revive our hearts individually and then collectively as a church. Let's pray for that revival. The devil's at work in fundamentalism today. If Bible-committed Christianity is to continue, then we need some Christians right here, some of us, to get hold of earnest, constant, persistent, sleepless, overcoming prayer. And God will do something special.